Hey everybody, Merry Christmas. I'm the guy that starts the Christmas season. That's what Daniel told me. So, you know, when Elder Joe comes to speak, you're supposed to have your Christmas decorations already up and running, okay? Oh, there was some silence there. Okay, all right, get your Christmas done. Okay, well, welcome. Well, what is an elder anyway? Anybody know? Well, an elder is part of the ministry team. And we support Pastor Doug, Pastor Daniel, Steve Areola, and we're on the ministry team, and we teach, and we pray, and we preach occasionally, and our job is to really oversee the health, the spiritual health of the community here at Living Way Church. So that's what elders do. Okay, you'll have a test on that in a few minutes. Okay. The message today is the promise of Jesus Christ. The promise that someone came from heaven, came down to us to save us. Save us from what? Save us from sin. Save us from bitterness and anger and hatred and resentment and sin. And replace it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. But you know, before I get into that, I noticed a few things about the promise. You know, this is the political season, and I noticed there's all these political it's called jingles that come out. And it seems like to me, the best political jingles, they steal from the Bible. How about this one? Promise made, promise kept. And how many politicians keep all their promises? Well, it's some do, some don't. But wouldn't it be great to know that there is someone who made a promise, will always be kept, and always stand by that word, and we do. And his name is Jesus Christ. And I want to focus on that this morning about the promise. So what is a promise? A promise is a declaration that one will do something specified. Will do. There's a difference between a promise from a man and a promise from God. So even Santa Claus has challenges sometimes with promises, and he realizes that he has to upgrade and to stay with the times. So if you can see this next bullet point here, you see Santa Claus that's fallen on the ground. You see reindeer that are wrapped around a tree, and you see the sleigh that's on the side. Well, what happened? Well, we found out that Santa Claus and Rudolph had an agreement. The agreement was this. I've told you once, and I've told you a million times, Rudolph, no texting while you're driving the team. Okay? Even reindeers have problems with promises, right? Promise made, promise broken. But Santa Claus isn't going to stop there. He still wants to upgrade to the new technology. So he says this. He really wants to get into Facebook and so he can keep his promises. So listen to this one. I no longer keep a naughty or nice list. Can you believe that? This is new technology here. I'm only concerned with who friends me. All right? So that's a... And then as he continues on, now that he's implemented this process, he says this. He's sitting, Santa Claus is sitting at his chair, at his desk, and he looks at his computer, and this audio pops up, you know, from his computer and says, you have 200,194,305 friend requests. And then he's got his hand on his head and he says, oh, I knew that this Facebook thing was a bad idea. All right, so I think he's going to stick with the naughty or nice list. But the point is, people make promises and they try to make promises. They try to use technology to make promises. But sometimes man falls short. Abraham Lincoln actually weighed in on this. He says, we must not promise what we ought not, lest we be called on to perform what we cannot. Okay? So Abraham Lincoln has had a lot of experience with seeing promises come and promises going unfulfilled. And even Benjamin Franklin, who has a lot of experience with overseeing promises, he says this, promises may fit the friends, but non-performance will turn them into enemies. Ooh. So our word needs to be yes, yes, and no, no, right? And the Bible teaches us that our word is to be true. And when what we say, we need to follow through on. But you know, there was one more person who had trouble keeping promises in the Bible, and that was Peter. Now, I like Peter. I'm not really picking on him, but he sure has a lot of examples we can draw from him. In Mark 14:29, he was just so excited about promising Jesus his faithfulness to him. And this was right before Jesus was arrested and taken to the cross. But Peter said to Jesus, "Even though all may fall away, yet I will not." So every time you see an "I will," that's somebody promising something, isn't it? "I will not." And then Jesus said to him, okay, here comes the correction. "Truly I say to you, Peter, that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me 3 times. Promises made, promises broken, right? So, and then, wouldn't it be great, like we said before, wouldn't it be awesome if there was one person who made promises and always kept them? And the answer is yes, and that person is Jesus. In John 16:14, we hear Jesus said to him, "I am the way." That's quite a promise. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus is saying he's the truth. And that's a promise. In Hebrews, the Apostle Paul is explaining the results or the outcomes of following a truth. He says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever." So the result of Jesus Christ fulfilling his promises is the outcome. Don't we want a different outcome in our lives? Don't we want a different outcome at work? Don't we want a different outcome in everything that we do? But when we follow Jesus Christ and believe him, the outcome is different. The outcome is joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the outcome that we're looking for. Not when we look out in the world and say, "Oh, look at that bitterness and anger and hatred and fear." That's not what God is after. The Lord is after a changed heart. And with a changed heart, we can change our communities. And with a changed communities, we can change a nation and we can change the world. But Jesus does it one person at a time, one promise at a time. So I want to go over 4 aspects of the promise. The promise of Jesus was planned long ago. The promise of Jesus was presented to us through the birth. The promise of Jesus is proven through his life. We can actually examine it and know that he is true. And the promise of Jesus provides us peace. And so we know and we have confidence in the promises and know that Jesus has met all of his promises. We have more confidence in the Word of God. And so Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I reviewed this last year when I preached. Why did Jesus come? He came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. And Jesus also said this profound statement, to know Jesus is eternal life. That's John 17:3. And so let's go through the promises here. The promise of Jesus was planned long ago. Jeremiah, the Lord spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. He inspired him. He came over him. And the Holy Spirit had Jeremiah write down a prophecy. A prophecy is really a promise. And it was revealed in 260 B.C., this promise right here. Let's look at Jeremiah 31. "But this is the new covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it. And I will be their God, and they will be my people, for they will all know of me." And that was a prophecy just 8-9 centuries before Jesus was even born. A promise was made. The great thing about the gospel in these promises is that we have this wonderful book called the Holy Bible. And we have the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, we have over 300 promises that Jesus had to fulfill for him to be the Messiah. And he lays it all out to see us. He lays it all out for us to examine it and study it to make sure that this was the Christ. And this is awesome. And he did it not only with one person, Because if Jesus gave the promise to one person, of course, we in our humanity would say, it's just one person, it can't be true. But he gave the promise to 40 prophets in the Old Testament, showing that Jesus would be the Messiah, the promised one. And he did it over 1,500 years. So when we examine the scriptures and we study it closely, we realize that Jesus really is the Messiah. What are the chances of a Messiah, of one person, fulfilling 300 promises? You know, Josh McDowell, who had a mathematician work with him, and he says, you know what? They found out that for one person to fulfill 8 promises, it would be one chance in 100 quadrillion that that person would fulfill 8 promises of the 300. That is 10 to the 17th power. Wow. And then they went on. They said, well, what if 48 promises were fulfilled out of the 300? What were the chances of one person fulfilling 48 of the 300? They said 10 to the 157th power. That's 157 zeros after the 1. One chance, and let me see if I can pronounce this. There's actually a word for this. One chance in unquinquagintillion. One chance that someone would fulfill 48 of the 300 prophecies. So when you look at the mathematics, this is amazing. So Jesus fulfilled 300. And then they said, well, what are the chances of someone fulfilling 300? And the answer came back, only Jesus. So that was the promise planned. Okay. The promise presented, not only was it planned, you know, millennial ago, but it was also presented to us. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, around 740 B.C., the Lord came across Isaiah, and Isaiah wrote down this prophecy or this promise. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Can you imagine that? 800 centuries before Jesus was born, this promise was made? That is amazing to me. And Jesus fulfilled that exactly on time. And he kept that promise. And let's look at that promise in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is the birth of Jesus that was prophesied 800 centuries before he was born. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I love it when the scripture defines what a word means. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus means Savior. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Wow. So the promise was planned long ago. The promise was presented to us through Jesus at his birth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Promise made, promise kept. Amen. The third aspect of a promise of Jesus was the promise proven by his life. Let's look at Luke 4:17. Again, made by Isaiah, wrote down this prophecy from the Lord at the start of Jesus' ministry, 740 B.C. And it is included in the passage in Luke. Let's look at Luke 4. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And Jesus was in a synagogue at this time. His ministry had not started, but this was the beginning of it. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And this is what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And Jesus then closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. This is where the awkward moment comes in. And all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. Can you imagine that? Complete quiet. And then Jesus began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Promise made, promise kept. You know, I was looking at this passage a little bit closer, and all the life we could go through, but dozens and dozens of passages that are in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled in the New Testament. And I came across this song that we actually sang last year here. It's called Mary, Did You Know? Has anyone heard of that song, Mary, Did You Know? It actually outlines, lays out the life of Jesus and what he was able to accomplish by Mark Lowry and Buddy Green. This isn't up on the screen, but I'd like for you to listen to it. Mary, did you know that your baby boy someday will walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? I love it when I read that. Making us new. This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? Did you know your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? And when you kiss this little baby, you have kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? The sleeping child you are holding is the great I Am. I Am. You know, Moses was asking the Lord in the Old Testament, what's your name? The Lord said, I am that I am. Okay, it's one of the names of the Lord. And so as Jesus unfolds his life from the beginning of his ministry, he shows us that he's the real deal. He shows that his promises are going to be made and promises are going to be kept. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the promise made and the promise kept. And the fourth aspect of the promise we wanted to cover today is the promise provides peace when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and trust Him. A peace that surpasses all understanding comes upon you. And it doesn't really matter the circumstances of your life. You can live in peace even though some of our circumstances in our life can seem chaotic. So let's look at John 14:27. This is what Jesus said about peace. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And in John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. So not only does Jesus say, I'm going to give you peace, he also says he's going to give you the Holy Spirit that will maintain that peace for eternity. And so when you walk with the Lord and you know him and you have eternity, you will be guided by the Spirit. You will be guided. He will guide your path. He will light your path. And it's so awesome to have that peace and that knowledge to know that Jesus is always with you no matter where you are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him has everlasting life, and he will seal that with the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews, I really love this because of the confidence that it gives us when we look at the scriptures and knowing that these promises have come true. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? You know, in my profession, I come across a lot of people. I do a lot of things, and I build a lot of teams in the IT world. So there's three things that I have noticed about all people, common to all people. They're either in trouble, getting out of trouble, or just about ready to get into trouble. Really? Really? That's true. And as ministers of the word, we know that, you know, and we have solutions for this. We guide people through all of the troubled times. Why? Because Jesus is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And we use the word of God, which is his wisdom, to use in our everyday lives to solve our issues and our problems of life. And that's a comfort, and that brings peace. That means it doesn't matter what your situation is. Jesus is always with you. He will give you what you need to know. Jesus is peace. So the promise was planned long ago. The promise was presented to us in the birth. The promise was proven to us by Jesus' life in fulfilling all those promises. And Jesus provides us peace. He can say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Promise made, promise kept. Yes. It is good to know that we have a God that keeps his promises. Man, let's just put that aside. We just know with confidence by looking at all of these prophecies in these scriptures today, that we have confidence that Jesus is with us and guide us and will always be with us. So how do we have peace? And we'll leave you with four steps to have peace and maintain peace, because I think it's important for us to know. In Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 7, Paul gives us how to practice this promise of peace that God has given to us. The Apostle Paul actually wrote the book of Philippians in prison. So he wrote this passage in prison talking about rejoicing. What? This proves the point. It doesn't matter your circumstances. If you have Jesus, you can rejoice and you can have peace. So let's look at this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I was looking at the scriptures and in preparing for this message, and I noticed Mary, the mother of Jesus, didn't say much. Have you noticed that? I looked at the book of Acts, all four Gospels. You know what the last thing she said? Right before Jesus turned water into wine, she said this. This is the last thing Mary said, the mother of Jesus. Do what he tells you. Yes. That's the greatest evangelical message I've ever heard. Do what he tells you. You want eternal life? You want a better life? Do what Jesus tells you. Yes. Wow, how simple is that? I love it when simplicity of the gospel comes in to take over intellectualism. Jesus. Right? Do what he tells you. And just believe him. Just believe him. Next thing. First thing to have peace is being thankful. Being thankful. In all your ways. If you find yourself in a troubled spot, be thankful. In Psalm 118:21, it says, I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me from the pit, right? Saving me from that bitterness and that angerness and bringing me in to the kingdom of joy. Oh, I love the hymns, the old hymns that actually capture the emotion of thankfulness. How about this one? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me that great salvation. So rich and free. We don't have to live like the world tells us to. We live what Jesus tells us how to live, in joy and peace. The second piece I'd like to say is rejoice. To maintain peace, rejoice. In Psalm 118:24 it says, "The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." And another old hymn to reflect this rejoicing. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art." That's how you rejoice. You're thankful and you rejoice for what you have, and the peace of God comes upon you. Simple, right? Do not be anxious. Psalm 94, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." Consolation, your reflecting and remembering the word of God brings you joy and brings you peace. Another old hymn says, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer." When anxiety comes upon us, remember the word of the Lord. Remember what Jesus has done. Remember the promise made and the promise kept. And the last thing is prayer. Prayer is so important. Just talk to Jesus. It doesn't have to be complicated. Look what Mary did. Do what he tells you to do, right? Let's look at James 5:15. "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." And this last piece is really important. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Do you know your prayers are powerful and effective to the Lord? The Lord hears every prayer that you say. He knows them. He knows you. I like this next hymn too, which really reflects the emotion of prayer. Because sometimes this is what I cry out, "Look what the Lord has done," right? "He healed my body, he healed my mind, he saved me just in time. I'm going to praise his name. Each day is just the same, because Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever." So I want to finish up with the song that actually inspired this message. I was actually listening to on the radio by the Martins. It's called "The Promise," and we'll finish up with this. "I never said that fear wouldn't find you in the night, or that holiness or loneliness was something you'd never have to fight. But I did say I'd be there right by your side. And I did say I'll always help you fight. Because you know I made a promise that I intend to keep. My grace will be sufficient in every time of need. My love will be the anchor that you can hold on to. This is the promise. This is the promise I made to you." So Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave you. Promises made, promises kept." We showed the promise of the plan. We showed the promise that Jesus presented at his birth. We showed the promise of that to prove his life. And the promise provides peace. And it's great to know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we follow him, we will have eternal life, and he will give us wisdom to solve the issues of life. May God bless you, and Merry Christmas to everyone. Pastor Daniel.